Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show's entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Also, quick shout out not only to the stations who've been taking me for well over 2.5 decades, but also these podcast networks that are also kind enough to be picking us up as well, whether we're talking about Listen Notes, Apple, Amazon Music, Amazon Music UK, Amazon Music India, Amazon Music Italy, of course, Spotify. CRN Talk has been taking us for years. Go to crntalk.com, check us out on their channel 4. You can also hear us via Roku. They play us by Roku. Anyway, without further ado, here's what we have on the docket today. How does Trump's big, beautiful bill specifically help versus hurt American, really in ways contrary to the legacy media's fact-free campaign against it? There's huge disparity between how they're presenting it and what the real deal is. Also, following a CIA report, former FBI Director James Comey and former CIA Director John Brennan are now subjects of an FBI criminal investigation thanks to being exposed by the very folks they framed, sidelined, and silenced regarding their fabrication of the Trump-Russian hoax. What's next? Also, Secretary of State Marco Rubio flexes his senior diplomatic muscles when neutralizing rabid anti-American UN official Francesca Albanese. How? By banning her from entering the U.S. Good luck reaching the U.N. if you can't even get in this country. Does this send a strong, effective message? But I also want to talk about the Supreme Court's decision essentially giving great latitude to the Trump administration in their endeavor to cleaning up this bureaucratic dust magnet that we've accumulated over the decades, essentially giving him all the latitude he needs in his continuing to fire federal workers, assisting in the opining and analyzing. Oh, friend of the show, Hans von Spakovsky, manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative and a senior legal fellow with the Heritage Foundation. By the way, he also served for a couple of years as a member of the Federal Election Commission and is co-author with John Fund of the highly praised new book out entitled Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. Hans, good to have you back, buddy. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Great to have you on board. Now, this decision apparently did not necessarily assess the merits of the argument in focus. It just ensured that a lower court was not able to put across a nationwide injunction against Trump's RIF intentions. He sent out the apparently memoranda to a myriad of government agencies saying, in the interest of reduction in force intentions, we want you to look at who can be best removed without harming or marginalizing operational needs. There was a big complaint against this, but apparently there was a ruling 8-1 saying that the president can indeed continue on until the question is subsequently finally decided. Do I have it about right, or am I missing something here?
No, you've got it right, and it's important to understand that what the president's executive order was telling OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, which, as you know, is basically the Human Resources Department, the federal government. I mean, sure. What they were telling him was come up with a plan for restructuring the government, reorganizing, and reductions in force, quote, consistent with applicable law. So, you know, how can a lower court judge say, oh, well, that's illegal, when what they're saying is come up with a plan that's in compliance with the law? And, yeah, this was simply an emergency stay, but I have to say it's very significant because in the order, one of the reasons that the eight justices gave for issuing the stay was because, and this is a quote, the government is likely to succeed on its argument that the executive order and memorandum are lawful.
Really, so and it doesn't even touch on, you know, some of the more micro considerations of who would be let go and who would not be let go, and
right.
You know, and other just essentially looking at how an effective RIF, a reduction in force campaign, can be undertaken and still not run afoul of any laws. And apparently just the mere pursuing of that goal is something that this judge thought, through a great series of tortured word association bridges, that, you know, Trump could somehow be stopped in the name of the very law that Trump's adhering to. What am I missing?
No, that's exactly right. And look, you know, what's so absurd about this and absurd about that California judge is that, I mean, he was acting as if reductions in force, I mean, they happen so often and have happened so often with prior presidents. They even have an acronym in Washington. They're called RIFs. Everybody knows what they are.
Reductions in force.
Google Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, both of them did RIFs, and nobody questioned their legal ability to do it, and yet suddenly this judge pops up and do it. And look, the judge was so wrong that even Justice Kagan and Justice Sotomayor, who do not like Trump and generally disagree with him, joined the majority in staying that opinion. The lone dissenter, once again, was Justice Brown Jackson, who wrote another tirade in her dissent that was totally divorced from any kind of legal reasoning. I mean, like, it was an emotional tirade.
Well, she's already on record in a number of interviews saying that she looks upon her position at the Supreme Court as a way to better express some of her political views. I mean, she's essentially said that, even though nothing could be farther from the truth. What I want to talk about also right now is this recent development just happened. Just the news has it. John Solomon, we've had him on before. We got to get him back, but his people put this report out. A federal judge on Thursday blocked President Donald Trump's executive order restricting birthright citizenship in the wake of the Supreme Court's ruling on nationwide injunctions. U.S. District Judge Joseph LaPlante granted class action status to babies who would be affected by the order in an attempt to circumvent the high court's directives to limit injunctions to participating parties in the case. Now, as you might recall, Justice Alito referred to these class actions as a possible workaround from an otherwise straightforward banning of lower courts from being allowed to usurp the president's executive power, no longer allowing these lower courts to inflict nationwide injunctions, but rather have their injunctions just be restricted to the regions they serve. That said, the workaround has been these class action suits, but it seems to me that this latest one runs afoul of what allows class actions to be applied, because class action suits must be Rule 23 compliant. And this is going to be impossible to meet the standard, since the president's prerogative to execute constitutionally compliant legislative law is non-judicially reviewable, is it not? I mean, he's allowed to put forward this effort as the case is adjudicated by the lower courts. It can't be preemptively judged. What am I missing?
No, I think this judge is making a mistake, and I think he is using this loophole that the Supreme Court left open, unfortunately.
Yeah, but Rule 23 would seem to shut it down, right? I mean, doesn't he have to meet the standards of standing, like injury in fact, showing a connectivity between the offensive legal, you know, government act and the harm being done to the plaintiff, as well as finally showing how a ruling by the court, a favorable ruling, would somehow remedy the challenge? It misses those marks, does it not, Hans?
Well, yes, the judges are supposed to do that, but
if you can, hang on the line for just a moment, my friend. Going to be right back.
It's no surprise that people love their pets. In fact, 97% of pet owners consider them part of the family. Amazon's Jen Ray has more.
Amazon Pet Day makes caring for your pets easier than ever. The 48-hour sales event features thousands of deals with the convenience of Amazon's fast delivery. Whether you're welcoming a new puppy, upgrading essentials for a senior pet, or looking for products that pamper, there's something for everyone.
Nearly two-thirds of U.S. households have a pet. That's 86.9 million homes.
With so many households having pets, Amazon has something for every pet owner and their furry friends, from trusted basics to exciting new favorites across price points. Plus, Amazon is expanding its pet care offerings, now providing prescription pet medications on Amazon.com through VetSource, a leading pet pharmacy.
On May 13th and 14th, Amazon Pet Day will offer incredible deals, including on our most popular and pet-approved brands, like Purina Pro Plan, Iams, PetSafe, O'Norman, Ring, and more. Learn more at Amazon.com/Pet Day. As the school year winds down, many high school students are thinking ahead to what comes next. For some, that means staying academically engaged over the summer and preparing for the transition to college. Shauna Thayer, CEO of the online education platform Sophia Learning, has more.
Sophia Learning offers college-level courses that students can take at their own pace and are designed to transfer for credit. This summer, we're giving eligible rising high school juniors and seniors free access to 6 college-level courses. It's a great way for students to get a head start, see what college classes are really like, or try something new without the pressure.
A new survey finds that 72% of high school juniors and seniors who plan to attend college in the next 2 years feel they need to go to college to be successful, but 51% want more time to decide on a major.
Preparing for college is exciting, but can come with uncertainty. This program gives students a chance to learn at their own pace, gain confidence, and make informed choices about their future.
Learn more at sophia.org. That's Sophia with a PH.org.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs. at pva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. And as per the norm, so much to get into and so little time to pull it off, but we're trying nonetheless. How does Trump's big, beautiful bill specifically help versus hurt Americans in ways contrary to the legacy media's fact-free campaign against it? Also, following a CIA report, former FBI Director James Comey and former CIA Director John Brennan are now subjects of an FBI criminal investigation thanks to being exposed by the very folks they framed, sidelined, and silenced regarding their fabrication of the Trump-Russian collusion hoax. What's next? Also, Secretary of State Marco Rubio flexes his senior diplomatic muscles. How? When naturalizing, or I should say naturalizing, but when neutralizing, this rabid anti-American UN official by the name of Francesca Albanese. How? By banning her from entering the U.S. Now, does this send a strong, effective message? Hey, you're not going to get much done at the UN if you're not even allowed to enter our country. But I want to get back to what this some of these lower courts are trying to do, despite the Supreme Court having given guidance to not do so. That is to say, inflict these nationwide injunctions, and if they can't do that, using a workaround, call these class action lawsuits. Assisting in the opining and analyzing, we have Hans von Spakovsky, manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative. He's also, again, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Again, served a couple of years as a member of the Federal Election Commission. By the way, he's co-author with John Fund of the highly praised work entitled Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. Hans, really appreciate you sticking around. Thanks so much.
Sure thing.
Wanted to jump into this. We're talking about these lower courts doing some of the bizarre things. We talked about just now how one court decided that Trump's nationwide executive order to ban birthright citizenship is something that he can stop through class action, because judges are no longer able to do it through just these nationwide injunctions. Now, what's happened more also recently is this U.S. District Judge Indira Talwani, perhaps you heard of this Obama appointee, just issued a temporary restraining order blocking Congress's and the executive's big, beautiful bill defunding of Planned Parenthood. Now, how does this judge have the functional authority to usurp what is really the non-judicially reviewable separated powers of the legislative and executive's right to defund that which only they have the right to both fund and not fund? What am I mistaken? I mean, if we understand that Congress has the right to fund a group, then clearly by default, it also has the right to no longer fund that group. But this Judge Talwani inexcusably is trying to assert otherwise, even though she is so provably wrong. Or am I overstating it?
No, you're not overstating it. She has no basis whatsoever. A federal judge cannot order Congress to appropriate money and to fund a particular program or private individuals. And she issued this temporary restraining order within a couple of hours of the complaint being filed. She clearly did no legal research of any kind. And in fact, she doesn't cite any legal basis in her order other than good cause showed. Well, that is you can't do that.
No, words have meaning. Yeah. Words have meaning. And if you're going to use these words, what you say must have something to do with what you mean. You have to ensure that you can tether your assertions to their required validating grounds. Otherwise, you're just talking out of your backside. I mean, isn't that what this douchebag is basically saying, this crazy judge? She's basically saying, oh, you have the legislative authority to fund, but you don't have the legislative authority to defund. I mean, by that measure, right, if Congress had never funded to begin with, then that non-action also could have been viewed as illegal. If we're going to take this dimwit's logic to its ultimate conclusion, where am I mistaken?
That's exactly right. I mean, that's why, look, this is going to get overturned so fast. It'll hopefully make her head spin, because it is of all the bad decisions that have been issued in the last 6 months since Obama, since Donald Trump came into office, this is the worst in terms of being totally and completely lawless.
There's it looks to me as if this judge was put on a particular payroll, but not the one you might suspect initially as I bring it up. Not the DNC payroll, but the RNC payroll, because she is wonderfully illustrating exactly what the non-left community has been complaining about for decades, and that is the bias so self-evident in too many of these lower court judges. What can more better illustrate bias at the lower court level than this particular ruling, which wouldn't pass muster with a first-year law student? I mean, think about it. Look, I realize there's this class action workaround for essentially inflicting, because that's what this judge did, calling it using class action as a way to get around it. Now, I realize there's this class action workaround for essentially inflicting the same kind of national blocking. But even that, Hans von Spakovsky, even that must conform to what we discussed earlier, to what's known as a Rule 23 criteria, which is itself subordinate to the very same separation of powers regarding both Congress's power of the purse and the president's authority to sign the bills presented to him relevant to that power of the purse. I mean, even with this class action workaround, she can't do any of this. Where am I mistaken?
Well, no, I mean, that is absolutely right. So I don't really know why she thinks she has the power and authority to do that, other than pure and total arrogance. But like I said, this is going to get overturned so quickly that it'll make her head spin.
Well, hopefully it'll make her spin right off her her torso. Now, let me ask you something. Since this judge, since U.S. District Judge Indira Talwani, is directly violating the Supreme Court on this question as well, doesn't the administration have the right to issue a response stating its intent to follow the Supreme Court versus the district court on the matter? I mean, Trump could just say, look, we've got this court that is saying the direct opposite of the court to which this district is subordinate. So therefore, we choose to follow the Supreme Court's ruling, not yours. Is it fair to say that Trump would not be afoul of anything if he were to do that? Where am I mistaken?
Well, they could do it that way, but I suspect what they'll do instead is they immediately appeal it so that nobody can claim somehow in the press that they are, you know, violating the court's order. And as you know, they did that just recently in another case, this time out of also Massachusetts, when you had a local judge there, a federal judge, Brian Murphy, basically say that the stay that the Supreme Court had issued in the third country alien removal cases didn't apply to him. And they went, the Justice Department went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court a week later issued an order saying, yes, it really does apply.
It's just astonishing to me. That's why I'm saying, I mean, Trump, if he decided to just go straight with the Supreme Court's version of this, he wouldn't be violating the law by obeying the law as interpreted by the higher court versus that lower one. I mean, unless language is no longer tethered to the meanings of the words that comprise it. But Trump will probably just go through the appellate process just because it'll be that much more fun to watch an appellate court humiliate that lower court ruling versus letting it be a tete-a-tete between the lower court and the president. I see your point. Hans von Spakovsky, always a blast. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs, mornings for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit EasyHomeMeals.com. That's EasyHomeMeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
This forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach, absolutely delighted you could be with us. Well, how does how does Trump's big, beautiful bill specifically help versus hurt Americans in ways that are really contrary to the legacy media's fact-free campaign against it? Also, following a CIA report, former FBI Director James Comey and former CIA Director John Brennan are now subjects of an FBI criminal investigation thanks to being exposed by the very folks they framed, sidelined, and silenced regarding these characters' fabrication of the Trump-Russian collusion hoax. What's next in this particular drama? Well, to that end, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing old friend of the show, John O'Connor, former assistant U.S. attorney in Northern California representing the United States. He also, by the way, represented W. Mark Felt regarding the media's revelation of his identity as Deep Throat during Watergate. So we have a man attached to some history with us today. He also hosted the Mysteries of Watergate podcast, with his latest book being the highly praised work entitled The Mysteries of Watergate, What Really Happened. Thanks for joining us again, John O'Connor. Good to have you back. John O'Connor, do we have you, my friend?
Yes.
Oh, there we are.
Good to be with you.
No, yeah. Good to have you. Good to have you. Before I go any further, focusing on these bozos, I want to go ahead and have a listen to an older clip, if you will, having to do with the viability of the entire Russian collusion hoax, so that way we can better dive into the latest revelations concerning Messrs. Comey and Brennan and their likely culpability in the hoax. Let's listen to an exchange here some years ago between Congressman Doug Collins talking with then Special Counsel Bob Mueller, who himself at the time was a former FBI director, about his investigation not finding any evidence showing Trump was involved with the Russian government. Stick clip 13, James, if you please.
Is it true the evidence gathered during your investigation did not establish that the president was involved in the underlying crime related to Russian election interference as stated in Volume 1, page 7?
We found insufficient evidence of the president's culpability.
So that would be a yes. That would be a yes.
Yes. That's,
thank you. Isn't it true the evidence did not establish that the president or those close to him were involved in the charged Russian computer hacking or active measure conspiracies, or that the president otherwise had unlawful relationships with any Russian official? Volume 2, page 76. Correct?
I leave the answer to the our report.
So it is a yes.
This congressman was not letting Mueller off the hook at all. John, your sense of what the people are likely to witness in the days and weeks ahead, given this CIA report that seems to be highlighting the culpability of Messrs. Comey and Brennan. John.
Well, you know, Bob Mueller is an old office mate of mine from San Francisco. I knew him very well back in the day. And I think he was a figurehead in this investigation. He really was kind of kicking back and retiring. But interesting, in that hearing, Alan, Mueller said part of his purview, which was given to him by Rod Rosenstein, assisted, of course, by Comey and McCabe, was there was no investigation in the Steele dossier, which stunned everybody. You mean you had this this Russiagate investigation, didn't investigate the Steele dossier? Here's what I think. I think that Brennan and Comey clearly knew that the FISA investigation, for which they had to get four FISA court warrants to spy on the Trump campaign and later the Trump presidency, that they lied or aided and abetted lying and concealment from the court of material facts. I think they did that, and they both had ways of evading the special counsel John Durham's later investigation of it. So what I'm intrigued about is, although I know that's there, that was in 2016 and 2017, and now how do we bring these lies to the current time when the statute of limitations is not a problem? Brennan did testify in 2023 that he did not urge that the scurrilous Steele dossier be attached to a serious intelligence community assessment of Russian.
Okay, well then, isn't it fair to say that then that lie under oath would restart the clock vis-a-vis the statute of limitations, or am I mistaken?
No, bingo. You got it, Alan. Okay. That's it. Now the question is how much that particular lie or perjury can also drag back as part of a conspiracy, can drag back past acts if they are part of the same conspiracy. So what's curious to me is what we really don't know about what John Ratcliffe of the CIA had dug up and what Kash Patel has dug up. There also were a bunch of documents.
I do know that I do know that Bongino is really thirsty for this knowledge. He's been, I mean, when he was, you know, during his talk host phase, he was on this like a dog on a bone. And I can't help but to believe that Dan's going to be pursuing this with even greater dispatch and alacrity. I'm looking at a recent take on all this by legal analyst with Fox News, none other than Greg Jarrett. He points out some things that are worthy of another look. Basically, he points out that the Comey was, well, I'll use his words, was aided and abetted by others in the intelligence community, including CIA Director John Brennan, as well as Director of National Intelligence James Clapper. This malignant force of unelected officials plotted to smear Trump with what is surely the dirtiest trick in political history. It's more than just a dirty trick. It's an unlawful use of government resources. You're not allowed to use government resources to go ahead and falsify the either recent or not so recent history of anybody, whether it be a private citizen or a political figure. Anyway, he goes on to write, recently, current CIA Director John Ratcliffe declassified and released an internal agency review of the machinations that helped fuel the Russian hoax. In a statement posted on social media, Ratcliffe stated, quote, "All the world can now see the truth. Brennan, Clapper, and Comey manipulated intelligence and silenced career professionals all to get Trump," unquote. Now, that encapsulated completely unambiguous and otherwise inarguable truncating of the facts would seem to be in enough of themselves to warrant jail time. And I don't mean just as a matter of rhetorical principle, but I'm talking about as something that all of us can eventually see come to pass as it regards these three, or am I being overly sanguine about the prospect, John?
No, I've been on this like a dog with a bone since 2017. This is right up my alley, and I've been upset about it ever since then. I know what was going on. I know, and I know this evidence. Now, I don't know any of the new stuff that Ratcliffe may be putting out there, but here is the problem. The problem is the statute of limitations. There is plenty of falsity in this. First of all, you got perjury, you got false statements to a government agency, you have obstruction of justice, and you have election interference. You also have, you know, now arguably, I mean, it's not, nobody's going to charge this, but it comes close to treason when you're trying to get rid of a president by spying on him and making book on your own president. When your duty is to him in counterintelligence, the person running the counterintelligence, the highest authority is the president himself as commander in chief, unlike the regular criminal justice system, which the president takes hands off sort of by practice. In the counterintelligence, that counterintelligence is the president's. President Roosevelt knew what counterintelligence they had on the Germans and so forth. So the fact that Trump was being subject to a counterintelligence investigation without them telling him, to me, is a crime. But my question, Alan, remains, and this is what we all have to watch with bated breath regarding, is how does Ratcliffe and how do Ratcliffe and Patel hook in things to the present? Maybe the 2023 testimony of Brennan that is false is enough to say that's part of a conspiracy that reaches back. If it's part of a conspiracy that reaches back, then everything is brought forward, and maybe those past acts that happened in 2016 and 17 could now be brought as part of a present conspiracy.
That's let me ask you, hold on, let me ask you something. Would that prove to be maybe only just enough of a conduit for Brennan, or could it have broader application and sort of also neutralize what would normally be the protective statute of limitations for Clapper and Comey?
Well, Clapper's a special case. He only did a little bit of things. He only did a little bit, which is attach this Steele dossier. But Comey was right in there with Brennan. Those two were the thickest thieves from early in 2016.
Wow. You know what? More on this upon a return. John, if you can, hang on the line for just a moment. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
Planning a summer road trip? You're not alone. Over 75% of Americans are hitting the road this season. But before you pack the snacks and playlists, make sure your car and your car insurance are road trip ready. Start with a full vehicle checkup. Brakes, oil, tires, wipers. Pack an emergency kit. Learn how to change a tire and bring a backup map because GPS is not always reliable out there. Understanding your coverage is important as well. Although many people think they understand their insurance, a recent survey found 96% of drivers misunderstood at least one part of their policy. And that's where the General can help. With our app, you can review your policy, file a claim fast, or get a quote in 2 minutes or less. At the General, our mission is to give people a break when they need it most. And that's why we've made managing your car insurance easier, faster, and smoother, so you can stay focused on the road ahead. Planning a trip? Visit thegeneral.com so you can hit the road with confidence.
With the cost of living rising dramatically, budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. T-Mobile has launched 2 new experience plans, adding industry-leading value and savings, plus a 5-year price guarantee, so customers can rest assured that the price of their talk, text, and data stays the same. The Experience Beyond plan includes over $200 in added value for every line every month, with satellite connectivity, yearly device upgrades, and an entertainment streaming bundle that includes Apple TV+, Hulu, Netflix, and more. For more information, visit T-Mobile.com, sponsored by T-Mobile.
National Iced Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high-quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly, everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. John, appreciate you sticking around. We've been talking about how this, following a CIA report, we've got former FBI Director James Comey and former CIA Director John Brennan now being subjects of an FBI criminal investigation. Of course, thanks to being exposed by the very folks they framed, sidelined, and silenced regarding their fabrication of the Trump-Russian hoax, we have to wonder what's next. You're thinking that if they had more recently been discovered to have lied to Congress while giving testimony, then that would restart the statute of limitations, which otherwise would protect them from most of their nefarious conduct regarding the whole Russian collusion hoax. Are you hopeful for that eventuality? I'm thinking you might have grounds for being hopeful. Otherwise, the DOJ would not have so confidently opened up this fresh criminal investigation surrounding these two characters. What say you?
Well, we know there's a 2023 testimony by Brennan to Congress that's false. And he was testifying about his inclusion of the Steele dossier in the intelligence assessment report, which was ended up being key and a big part of the publicity on this thing. So we know that we've got Brennan in 2023. Now, if you can then make that, if that act is part of a broader conspiracy that reaches back in time, you can then reach back to prior acts. So in conspiracy, a conspiracy ends when the last or most recent overt act has been committed. If that act in 2023 is an overt act within the conspiracy, everything that's part of that conspiracy, even if the acts would otherwise be outside the statute of limitations, are now within the statute of limitations on a conspiracy count. So that is the hope for me, is that Ratcliffe has something, including this 2023 testimony, but has something, for instance, on Comey. I'm just not aware of what Comey's done because he was fired in 2017. But he could be involved with Brennan. He doesn't have to be in official capacity. He can be as a private citizen doing the same thing. So the idea is, are they part of a conspiracy that reaches up to 2023 or thereabouts, or even 2021, for that matter, because it might even be there were some false statements to Durham during the investigation, the Durham investigation and so forth. So I'm very hopeful, and that's where we have to really watch. We don't know what we don't know in that regard as to recent acts. Now, you go back to 2016 and 2017. I will tell you, Alan, there's a cornucopia of evidence.
Yeah, and I want to go ahead and help my audience out here. I want to truncate basically a bit of what this history involves, because everyone now knows that the Trump-Russian collusion hoax was just that, a hoax indeed. But I want people to have a more fresh and refreshed understanding of what exactly went down. Because let's face it, there were bad faith grounds to the Russian collusion investigation from the start. I mean, you have this fired FBI agent, Peter Strzok. He launches the investigation based on a May 2016 conversation in London between this drunken Trump campaign foreign policy advisor, I think it was George Papadopoulos, and a Clinton ally by the name of Alexander Downer, who had secured $25 million for her foundation before becoming Australia's ambassador to the U.K., So Alexander Downer, this Australian ambassador to the U.K., was the one who secured $25 million for her foundation, and he was connected to this. So again, this whole thing was launched. The whole investigation was based on a May 2016 conversation in London between this ossified Trump campaign policy advisor, George Papadopoulos, and again, Clinton ally Alexander Downer, who had a vested reason for leaking this. Now, apparently, Papadopoulos tells Downer that Russia has dirt on Hillary. However, that information was told to him by yet another Clinton ally, and as well as self-identified Clinton Foundation member, this London-based professor, Joseph Mifsud, who nobody can reach right now. And even the Washington Post managed to trip over this Mifsud in a piece entitled, "Is There More Than Meets the Eye with the Professor at the Center of the Trump-Russian Probe?" And, he acknowledged to Italian television that he is, quote, a member of the European Council on Foreign Relations. And you know which is the only foundation I'm a member of? The Clinton Foundation. Go ahead.
Joseph Mifsud. Joseph Mifsud is an asset of British intelligence. He's best friends with Claire Smith, the head of in British intelligence. He was sent in to try to set up Papadopoulos, but Mifsud himself could not be the one that reports the Russian dirt comments. So he tells Papadopoulos is a setup. Russians have dirt on Hillary. Then Downer himself is part of the Five Eyes intelligence. He's an Australian intelligence guy. He is sent in specifically to ask Papadopoulos about what Downer already knows, that is to say, he'd been told that somehow there was Russians had dirt on Hillary. He gets that. Now he's the guy that is clean enough to then go and report this as if it's breathless good news. The whole thing, Downer and Mifsud were set up by intelligence that was directly working with Comey and Brennan. They were both working with those two to set this up.
We know for a fact that it's a setup. Think about it. A Clint ally tells a Trump guy that Russia has dirt on Clinton, who tells another Clinton ally, who tells the FBI, hey, this Trump guy is working with Russia. I mean, who can swallow this crap without gagging? Secondly, you got FISA warrants that were issued and were predicated on a Trump dossier financed by the DNC and Clinton campaign through Fusion GPS, while then Obama's Associate Deputy Attorney General Bruce Orr coordinated with Fusion GPS and the dossier's author, Christopher Steele, his wife, Nellie Orr, who, by the way, also worked with Christopher Steele. I mean, how tribally incestuous can you get?
I'll do you one more, Alan. Of the 10 major witnesses in the Steele dossier, all of them were Russian agents or connected to Russian agents. Christopher Steele was Oleg Deripaska's man. You had Dennis Katsiv, who was Fusion GPS's guy. You have Igor Danchenko, a spy. Olga Galkina, a spy. You go down the line, there are 10 Russian spies that are responsible for that dossier. And you can't make this up.
Right. So the very country we're accusing Trump of colluding with is the same country trying to help the Democrats nail Trump. I mean,
exactly. They just bribed Clinton. They bribed Clinton on the for the Uranium One sale.
It's just too strange. I mean, at one point or another, people have to be held accountable before the private citizens think of how they can do it on their own. John O'Connor, always a blast, folks. You're listening to the Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.